Yeah. Good afternoon, comrades. Yeah. Long before now, Marxists have predicted that capitalism is an order without end, you know, as Lenin rightly affirmed. And prior to this time, we've argued that unless capitalism is overthrown, it's going to put the whole world into an inevitable crisis, as we have seen currently. As Fred has rightly affirmed, that global capitalism is finding its expression in financial crisis that has enveloped not only Britain, but also the international. This same expression is also become more evident in Africa as time goes by and other developing countries. And before, in 2006 to 2007, you know, when the crisis is becoming looming, you know, a whole lot of bourgeois economists and bankers, you know, came out in a meeting and assert that the financial crisis is not going to affect Africa in any ways because Africa is not yet developed or is not really integrated into world capitalist system. And at that time, you know, a whole lot of people were made to believe that that was actually the solution. But within a couple of 15 months later, we discovered that, you know, there were stock market crashes, you know, falling commodity prices, and a whole lot of other problems. And the African government and the ruling class, they are feeling the heat. At that time, in Nigeria, we are able to explain to people that Africa as a whole, or Africa as a continent, that is just like a latecomer. We are a latecomer in terms of development, in terms of industrialization. We are such a continent that came as a result of imperialism. We tend to develop our productive and economic base without being integrated into world system, and that we are reduced. To producers of commodity products and not necessarily industrial goods as we have in advanced capitalist society. And this assertion was shown to be correct today than when we made it, as we've seen in the present financial crisis as to how it affects Africa. Before we know it, in 2008, in the later part of 2008, a whole lot of African stock market just crashed. People know about a lot of money, billions of dollars, they just withdrawn billions of dollars. Why? It's because some of those markets are being owned by foreign investors. Look at the whole of South African economy. You know, it's just like a microcosms of advanced capitalist society. Most of the investors are either from Japan, from US, from Britain, from China. So when subprime crisis, which led to financial crisis happening in the United States, a whole lot of investors just came to Africa and withdrew their money. What happens? Stock markets become crashed. And there was any other thing to do. At that time, it was then obvious to bourgeois economists that Africa is going to be affected by global financial crisis. And before then, a whole lot of banks, you know, borrow a lot of money to people they give them money to go and at least buy stocks in the anticipation that the money is going to increase later. But with the rise of the financial crisis, some of these banks were not able to get this money back because some of this money, the speculation in the stock exchange market was not based on production. Rather, was it based on sales, but was based on speculation that, okay, the market is going to continue, rise, the price continue to rise. But with the financial crisis, everything came crashing, and there was no money, and bank, they are in a verge of collapse. So that's what we are, these are the effects of global financial crisis in Africa. And of course, as the position of Africa within the periphery of the world system, you know, just like ewers of food, you know, to fishers of water, you know, we produce oil, we produce granite, we produce mineral resources, you know, we also serve as market for some of these countries. But when financial crises occur, a lot of countries like China, like they can't afford to continue buying some of these commodities. So there was a crash in the commodity markets. So that's how we see a lot of price of oil, price of some of these markets, were as low as we have as the market price in 2000, 2001. And yet, the reality became more evident within the African ruling elite that the time is up. Because one, last week, Nigeria claimed that they've lost $182 billion, as a result of financial crisis. Price of oil has gone down, crisis in Niger Delta, and a whole lot of other crises. And so the implication of some of these crises is that it's going to have untold hardship, not only on workers, but also on peasants and other people in society. Now, currently, there's cuts, because there's no way you can escape the crisis unless the ruling elite has to cut social spending on education, on health, on infrastructure, on some of these things. And Africa as a continent before, we have been having series of economic crises owing to the World Bank policies, IMF policies, and some of the policies like that, which has inevitably affect our development standings in the world. And with the coming of financial crisis, it added an appalling insult upon injury, and everything become more evident. Because now there's no way you can provide for people in terms of qualitative healthcare, in terms of education, in terms of healthcare, in terms of everything. And the ruling class, they are so bereft of ideas that they don't actually know what to be done. And yet at that time in 2000 we explained that look, with what is looming, with the financial crisis, with Americans and borrowing credits and some other things, that is going to have an untold effect, to the extent that when this issue become more crash, then the third world as a periphery of the world capitalist system, we are going to feel the heat. And this is what is happening now. Now currently, this year I stumbled at one German Ministry of Development when they came out with, they said, effect of financial crisis on developing nations. Of course, they came out to give a lot of negative effect of financial crisis on developing nations, but they've not adequately explained. They said the bursting of the global credit bubbles will hit emerging economies first and hardest, and developing countries. While most of the larger developing countries should avoid outright contraction of overall output, sharp deceleration is evident in China and India, as well as in Russia. Combined with the whole of African society, the economy activity is slow and the jobs are lost. Real income will weaken because there is no buying and selling. There's a lot of contraction in the world scale. People don't buy goods globally. And how is African commodities going to be demanded for in the international scene? So these are the questions that some of these bourgeois writers and economists still left to be answered. So, and we have explained that with the position of Africa, we are not producing anything. There's no way we can extricate ourselves from the crisis. But this, like 2000, the first quarter of 2009 actually shows that the growth rate of Africa has become more slower than World Bank and IMF actually predicted in 2008. And with what is happening, I can see that in the coming period, if nothing is done, there's going to be a crisis. Because in Nigeria, people are feeling it. A whole lot of workers are on strike. The Academic Union of Universities are on strike. Last week, the Labour gave a warning strike. They also want, and the African ruling class are not even helping the matters. And prior to this time, they've actually accelerated their own income to like 800%. In Nigeria, the ruling class increased their own income to 800%. Why? Because at that time, the price of oil was around $140, $150. And they seized the opportunity, increased their, without that of the working class. Whereas there's no infrastructures, everything has collapsed. And yet people are suffering. And as a result of that, people now felt, okay, there's need for us at least to fight. That there's nothing, that nothing can come out if a particular platform of resistance is mounted against this government. And as a result of that, a lot of labor union workers, academic staff unions, and other staff, they are gradually teaming up. And even oppositions, you know, the bourgeoisie also has a way of solidarizing with people. And they also are teaming up with people. And I can see that if this crisis continues, in no distant time, the spate of wildcat strike, the spate of strike and crisis is going to be more evident. And as we have always advocated that nothing good can come out of decay capitalist system, you know, that tends to put profit, you know, before jobs, before lives of people. So it's also evident in Africa. The African ruling elite, because of their own class positions, they don't want any other interference. Yes, they agree that there's crisis, but they felt that there's nothing they can do. You know, when we put it to them, in terms of felt, they will tell you government cannot do it alone. Then we ask questions. When in terms of health, he said, government cannot do it alone. In terms of education, government cannot do it alone. In terms of agriculture, government cannot do it alone. And the question is, what will government do? So, and in terms of this, in relation to some of this crisis, has come in contact with a lot of other crises, like food crisis. And the question is, some countries in Africa, they don't experience environmental change or climate change, and yet they still have food crisis. How are these countries going to survive in terms of financial crisis? So these are some of the questions that some of these Bujas writers have not adequately explained. And just as we've argued, that the solution to this crisis is not cutting spending, is not, no. Because the more problem, in order to avoid the crisis, or in order to respond to crisis, the more problem that you cause by cutting social spending, expenditures on public goods, the more crisis you create in the coming period. Because as examples in countries around us abounds, because the more you cut spending, you can't cope with the crisis, the more problem you cause later. Because by the time the crisis improves, the experience has shown that the bourgeois will also want to continue the situation. Then the more people will continue to demand for qualitative health, for qualitative education, for food, you know, and for some other things. So, and the more the crisis the capitalists will create. So, and these are things that we have actually explained in the time past. And I want to submit by saying that unless capitalism is overthrown, as Marx actually predicted, that we will inevitably find one way or the other, trying to at least dodge the crisis. As we have seen in Nigeria and Africa, the material conditions for socialism is ripe. But the only problem we are having is the leadership. Who is going to lead? Who are those people? The so-called present leadership, they are a bunch of reformists, trade unionists, bureaucrats. They are just say, okay, we know we are going to work. But when the read comes, they will tell you they don't think these are the correct approach. And these are things that we fought over and over again from 2005 to date. And yet, this same form of leadership, they still acted as a break, to the movement. And I think until the mass of people, until we come to an arena where we begin to ask questions as to what's happening, within Africa and within the world as a whole, until we begin to question the system that tend to put billions of humanities into crisis, until we are able to ask those questions, then I think we have a more prospect for socialism. And until then, without them, then I'm afraid that a whole lot of African people, they are going to be enmeshed in barbarism. And I want to say that nothing good can come out of decay and disease capitalist system, you know, that is sick unto death because he has put job, life, you know, behind work, behind profit. And as a result, it's creating a lot of crisis on the world that will not only affect Britain, an advanced capitalist society, but it's going to affect developing countries, especially Africans, that are yet to be integrated to the world capitalist system.